The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
Today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by Gab Wireless. Gab exists to give parents the best of both worlds, a phone with everything a kid needs and none of the stuff they don't. Go to GabWireless.com and use promo code Dustin or follow the link in the episode description to get $10 off an upcoming order. Gab Wireless, safe phones for kids. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me, back in an old location, we are back in the southwest corner of our studio slash our bedroom. We're out of the girls' room. We're back in our room. My lovely wife, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey.
Hey. Melissa coming in hot. As always, welcome to February, ladies and gentlemen, where we are kicking off our series. February is for fighting. I know a lot of people are being romantic right now, and I'm having none of it. Absolutely not. Not here.
February is for lovers.
February is not for lovers. February is for fighters. February is for fighting, ladies and gentlemen. For 4 weeks this month, all four Tuesdays of this month, we're talking about fighting. Mm-hmm. We're getting into it. And we have some killer guests lined up, some guests with a diversity of relationship experience and advice and wisdom and or lack thereof. We get some different perspective. And this week, we have straight from the Anatomy of Marriage podcast, our old friends, Seth and Melanie Studley, who I talked to. And it was a very fun episode. It was a very raw episode. We talked to you're going to love it because you weren't in on the conversation. So you're going to love it because we talk about some of their great fights. And I laugh because that's what I do. I laugh at pain. I laugh at my own pain. And when people are ready, when it's behind them, I can laugh
at them. Like 2 seconds.
Exactly. Behind them. Then I can laugh at their pain. and so it was really great to chat with them. And they have a podcast called The Anatomy of Marriage that you can check out. They also just started a couple other ones, The Anatomy of Sex and The Anatomy of Family that you can check out. And you can check them out at thestudleys.com or anatomyofmarriage.com. There was one other thing I forgot. Oh, and also in addition to their podcast and giving you marriage advice and all that kind of stuff, Seth is also a licensed marriage and family therapist. So
nice.
That's who we're dealing with here. You guys are going to like this episode because it's not your standard like marriage advice couple. It's not that. It's yes, he's a therapist. Yes, they have that. But they also have, like so many of us, a lot of junk in their story, a lot of history, you know, some raw stuff, some gritty stuff. So I think you guys are going to enjoy this episode. They were relieved. And I think a little taken aback that this is a comedy podcast, and so we laugh at things. And
funny!
And there was and when we get to some listener emails at the end, which I want you guys to continue to send in some listener emails at the end, and they're as you would expect from the backseaters who are so wonderful.
Yeah.
They're funny. In addition to asking for advice and sharing about real stuff, they're very funny. They're us. Is what they
are. Yeah. They're like, we care, but we're going to laugh about it.
Yeah, what I'm saying is when I read your guys' emails, backseaters, I feel like we are of the same tribe. So that is very enjoyable for me. It's a very fulfilling experience. And so do please continue to send us emails at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com in regards to fighting. Tell us about your fighting story, your fighting cycle, the things that you are dealing with, the things that you have questions for. And keep in mind, it may be good or bad advice that you get from that, but we want to hear it nonetheless. We have 3 more weeks of this. We did 2 emails in this one, and we'll do at least that in each episode. So shoot us those emails at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. for stuff like that. I also just real quick want to say a thank you to all of our patrons. Yes. That rework is coming real soon. We're very excited to roll that out. If you're interested in giving a little more to the podcast and getting a little more from the podcast, then you go to patreon.com/don'tmakemecomebackthere to get things like episode reviews and 5 questions or 10 minutes and get a sticker or a shirt or all kinds of fun stuff that just comes in the mail for you sometimes. We got a new one this week that I believe Melissa has to send something to. She'll get to it eventually.
It was like 2 days ago.
It was.
I'm not behind yet.
I asked them, there's a couple things that we're going to do in our intro real quick here. I asked them what are triggers for them for fights right now.
Okay.
Emotional triggers.
Yeah.
And it made me wonder what ours are. What are our things that like kind of set off just like, okay, here we go. And then I remembered who I was married to. And I was like, where to begin?
It could be anything and everything.
Yeah, that you have an intensity to you.
Yes.
That anything. And like Melanie, this little spoiler, said like a clean house is one for hers. That's one. Mm-hmm. Like, but particularly, you're not like, I need this clean house. It's like the house needs to be presentable when you come home. You can't, if you could.
I would love that.
It's very stressful for you to be home. It's also very stressful for you to go somewhere.
I don't think that's a fighting trigger, though.
It's a stress trigger, which is a fight trigger. Yeah. But are there certain ones where you're like, here we go. Or particularly a trigger to conflict that you can think of between us.
Oh, like the bathroom sink got clogged like late at night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's like, not one more thing, you know, like 11 or something. Yeah. And I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is just like the tip of the iceberg, mm-hmm. you know,
anytime
just put you over the edge.
I think the word, just is a trigger for you. Like if I just say, that or just do that or just stop
that. One
of
my least favorite phrases. Just say that. Why don't you just say that?
Why don't you just do that?
Yeah. I think distance learning
would
be a very big trigger for me right now.
I would say anything that I view as remotely rude.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we'll get more into that as the episodes progress. I want to read a different email. This is a follow-up from last week.
Okay.
Someone said this is from Jody, and the subject is Roommates Pod. It says, oh, you guys, this podcast was such a delight to listen to, I think, because me and my husband can relate. In our 6 years of marriage, we've had 5 different roommates. Most of them were not full year and were college students, but had their own interesting story. Our first roommate was fantastic. We lived in a 2-bedroom house and got into having a roommate as our rent jumped up from renting a whole 3-bedroom house for $400 a month to then moving into this 2-bedroom small house for $700. So we, it was great rates.
Wow.
So we thought we'd...
our jaws are on the floor.
Yeah, no. So we thought, let's get a roommate and charge them $300. She was super chill, cleaned up after herself awesomely, 0 complaints. Next college student roommate, exchange student from the college. He was great for the most part. His one negative was him not cleaning up his whiskers after shaving and always sticky fingers, as we noticed this from the microwave and refrigerator. We'd always exclaim when he wasn't around, Mario, like Seinfeld does with Newman. We moved across the state of Iowa and got a 4-bedroom home, another increase in rent to $875.
You mean 1875?
Yeah,
exactly. I don't know.
If they would have said 1875, like that's still a good deal. You could put $1,000 in front of that, and that's still $2,875.
Yeah, yeah,
honestly, yeah. She hardly talked to us. The house had a bonus room with own entrance and made it a perfect room to rent. This roommate, in the entire year she lived with us, never cooked a meal in our kitchen. And hardly even slept at the house. She basically did laundry and kept her clothes at the house and showered. She hardly talked to us, so we never got to find out where she ate food always and where she actually slept nearly the whole time. It was weird, but honestly, super ideal for the extra cash. Yeah, exactly. When she left, we replaced her with another gal that was super kind. And I think cooked and slept for her at her boyfriend's place the whole time too. We had a rule that boyfriend's girlfriends couldn't spend the night over, so I think instead some chose to sleep to never sleep at the house. Oh well. Our final roommate came at a very strange time. We had just gotten at our house built and just came home from the hospital with our first child, so our house was in shambles. We had no hot water for 5 days, and then no countertops yet in the kitchen. I was also a first time mom zombie that was asleep on the couch 90% of the time. She left after 2 weeks. We didn't care. We've learned a lot, and I think we do it again, but I would have to be a really certain type of person, as we now have two kids and a third on the way. Congratulations. Nice. Enjoyed this one, you guys. Thanks for keeping me laughing. Thank you, Jody, for the email and sharing your roommate story.
It seems like overall pretty good for Jody.
Yeah. I think it's really good. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's the one who's never there. That's ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Ideal. But maybe like the mystery is like, is everything okay?
You're like, should we call the police?
Should we call the police, you know?
Yeah. How would you know?
You almost want a little bit of a balance, like the occasional touch point.
She's got to have a curfew.
Just where you at, you know?
No, kidding.
What they need is a Gab phone, is what they absolutely need. You guys, if you have a roommate that refuses to get a cell phone and you're worried about their safety, or if that roommate is a child, I cannot recommend to you enough, ladies and gentlemen, Gab Wireless. Gab Wireless. Guys, what can we say that we haven't said already? It's a safe phone for kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Everything you want them, everything that you want them to have, none of what they want to have. That's not true. No. Everything you want them to have,
pretty
none of
close.
What you don't want them to have. That's not even, they say that, but it's not true.
No, they text their friends
they
on
text
it
their
all
friends,
the time.
They call their friends. Mm-hmm. Jill's sending memes.
Yep.
You know, they're doing the thing. They have the social experience.
Yes.
You know, and we don't have to put them in the social experiment that is giving kids smartphones.
Yes.
I highly recommend you guys go to gabwireless.com and use promo code Dustin. All right. And you're going to get $10 off that phone just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. $10. Or you can just follow the link in the episode description. Gab phone, guys. Again, big, big fans. Gab phones. It's safe phones for kids.
Yep.
That's it. All right, guys. We're going to get into this episode. Please continue to send us emails at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com with your fighting questions, issues, stories, etc. Enjoy this episode, ladies and gentlemen.
Bye.
Give me the bullet points overview as you guys can. I know that's a lot to ask, but you know, in the 16 years and the total time you've been together, what's the origin story? What's the beginning and the middle and not the end?
Hopefully. Right.
The current.
God, no, please.
Right, the current. Right. Well, so Seth moved out to Washington from South Carolina. He grew up in like the sticks. Like he's so Southern. His brother went to bull riding school. Like that's how he
goes.
I know. The weirdest thing you've ever heard of. Bull riding school.
Was he good? Was he like, did he?
He was okay. He ripped his pants and didn't have underwear on one time.
What?
So that was kind of cool.
Amazing.
In a rodeo. Okay.
That's funny. I was raised redneck as well. My family's from, my dad's side is from rural Oregon, which is very redneck, like way more than you realize. And, there's a lot of stories that end with nudity. It's amazing.
That was funny. But anyway, so he moved out to Washington with all of his buddies because he was in a band called Emery.
Mm-hmm. Right, I'm familiar
so
with
they
that.
Moved, yes, they moved to Seattle to do music. And we met at a Starbucks. How appropriate.
Oh. At a Starbucks.
I worked there. He was a customer. And just so that like people understand, if a Southern person with an accent comes to like a Northern state where we don't like put down Southern
accentless
people, we like love it. Every lady is
there
like
some swoonage, right?
There's all the swoonage happening. But
so,
anyway, we
yeah,
became...
met Melanie that way and accent wooed her over.
Right.
And then boom, 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 got engaged, got married. And we were just two ridiculous people who didn't know anything.
Two idiots
and,
in love.
Like just completely didn't know anything.
Yeah.
We get clients now and they're like, oh, and we're like, oh my gosh, you know nothing.
Right.
Let us help you. And then so I got married. What else? I went to grad school for marriage and family therapy. And then during that time, because we both didn't know nothing,
right?
We both didn't know anything, right? We were just accusing and blaming stuff on each other all the time, not finding our own happiness the entire time. And then finally all this stuff came to a head. Boom. It was terrible time. And we went through the worst, I don't know, year year and a half of our life.
5 years of our life.
Five years. Different story. Wait. Right. Over that.
Right. But we got married really fast. So we only dated for 5 months. Like, we knew each other as friends. We dated for 5 months. And then 3 months later, after the, you know, dating for 5 months, we were engaged for 3 months and then we were married.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we're like from different parts of the world. We didn't know what we were doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And Seth, were you touring at the time?
Yeah. Part of the time. And that was
easy.
It was good for touring. It was good for touring and music and stuff, but it was no bueno for relationships. Right. It was just no good.
Cell phones were like new back then.
Right.
They, the band shared one phone. All six of them or whatever.
Yeah.
Shared a single like Nokia, you know.
It wasn't even a flip phone. It was just like a block of wood kind of thing.
Oh,
with
man. It's amazing how archaic that sounds. And it wasn't that long ago.
Right.
I know.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't even. Yeah. I mean, from a road perspective, I don't know how bands and comedians and people did it before cell phones.
Right.
It seems impossible to me. Not even just staying in touch and keeping a healthy relationship, but just like getting to the gig.
How did we get to places? Like I still use my phone in downtown Seattle for maps, but back then we literally had a big atlas. It was big as a car hood. We flip it over and like get lost 1,000 times and somehow make it to the show every single time, and all we had to do was read.
Right.
Well, what are the early years like before you guys mentioned like the 5 years? What were like the was there a honeymoon period? Like, oh man, things were great. But, you know, we're so in love. I mean, charming the barista is not an easy thing to do. Like you got the cute barista. That's fantastic. You know, and you're dating a guy in a band. I mean, surely, did you know Emery at the time? I mean, I don't know if anyone knew Emery at that time.
No, you know? But what was funny is like in the small town that we lived in, every Christian kid knew Emery.
Yeah.
They were like the most famous of anything that you could have been in town that we were in.
In Maple Valley.
Yeah. So it was really funny. But listen, don't you dare. Don't you dare say anything about Maple Valley.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you heard of big in Japan. Emery was big in Maple Valley.
Right. We ruled this town. Free lattes everywhere we went.
Yeah. No, it was crazy. Speaking of honeymoons, you asked us, was there a honeymoon period? No. Mm. Nothing was easy or good about our relationship. All we did was fight because he was on the road from the, like, literally the week we started dating, they went out to record the week's end in Kansas City or something. So like, we literally decide, hey, we should make it official and date. And then he leaves like that week.
Boom.
And we're like, really? Like, you're just going to be gone like that? And so then the one cell phone, all the band, they go out to Kansas City and the fighting just was instant. Like, we just fought about, well, why can't you call me any better? Like, can't you tell them to be quiet? Why can't you tell them to be quiet? And every time he would tell them to be quiet, they would be louder.
Right.
It was really terrible.
So yeah, it was a hard existence for me to live for a minute. So yeah, then fast forward, you're talking about like the honeymoon phase. There wasn't really a honeymoon phase.
Tell them about our actual honeymoon.
Right. So we went to Hawaii. We went to Maui, right? For like 4 days. And oh my gosh, I feel like an idiot for saying this, but like, we actually planned our honeymoon short because we had gigs like that same month. I'm like, oh man. And thinking back, I'm like, dudes, don't do that. Don't.
Do you remember the swimming pool?
You're just messing up. Yeah. So the swimming pool, like, Melanie splashed me in the face on purpose or something.
Being playful, right?
Being playful. And then I like jumped up and said, well, maybe we shouldn't even gotten married.
He got so...
I was like on the second day after we got
literally
married.
Literally. That's how much we knew about relationships.
Right.
A splash in the face equals I'm out.
It got in my nose and the chlorine. It was a thing. So
yeah.
But then we also rented a Harley Davidson,
which
was, you know, crazy couple, motorcycles. There wasn't much alcohol involved, thankfully. But then we like took the Hana Highway and took an 8-hour motorcycle ride
up the Hana
Highway, which was just bonkers and stuff. But you made it through that, which is kind of cool. So
yeah,
good job.
It was fun. But no, we never have had it easy. We've always fought. We've always been idiots and never known the right thing to do.
Right.
Except for late.
Yeah.
Right.
Recently.
Yeah. Yes. Recently.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. Sorry.
I was saying, how old were you guys when you got married?
I had just turned 21.
Yeah.
Like the month before.
And I was like 26. So
he was 100 and I was 17. So it felt
nice.
Well, and when did the kids enter the picture? And did that make the fighting easier? Which I know the answer to.
No, of course not.
We had kids, I think, like 3.5 years in. We had them fairly quickly. But we had our two boys back to back. They're 15 months apart. Like, they legit look like Irish twins. They're both redheads. They're practically identical.
Right.
And that's really when everything happened, because he was in school becoming a marriage and family therapist. I had just 2 weeks earlier given birth to our second son in like 90 days.
Yeah.
And then
in 90 days.
In 90 days.
So there was post really, really quick turnaround here in Maple Valley. There was postpartum stuff.
Right.
Postpartum depression. I was like going bonkers. I had like 3 jobs and an internship plus in grad school. So we were just losing our minds.
Yeah. It was crazy.
All kinds of stuff. And so kids, they did not make it easier by no stretch of the matter, but we made it through.
Yeah. And that's really kind of when our whole podcast story started, although it sounds kind of like out of place, but that was when like Seth confessed and I lost my mind and I gave him a black eye. That was the worst part of our marriage, that once we survived that, that's when we turned around and say, wait a second, we need to make something that helps people out. So that's how our show was born. It was really brought about by just like the crappiest, worst way to be a human.
Yeah, basically. Well,
if you guys don't mind, maybe flesh out, because I feel like that happens in a lot of relationships. There's a breaking point.
Right.
You know, where there, Melissa and I had one, I mean, we've had several over the years. There's not a breaking point. There's like maybe an annual breaking point. You know, there's a couple historic fights, but one of them was postpartum, and it was like a, you know, a screaming match in the kitchen that ended with her yelling, "There's nothing you can do to make me happy." and it was like a very, because we've been going at it for a while, and there was a lot to unpack there, but it really was just like one of those, like, sometimes a thing happens, and then we've had a few of them, that is just so shocking, whether it's an act or words, that it just kind of like takes everybody's emotions out of it, and you just like kind of have to evaluate things, and so it seems like this was that for you guys, which, you know, not everyone's going to be familiar with that story. So as much as you're comfortable sharing on a comedy podcast, we talk about real stuff too, though. So get into it, you know.
Oh, we'll share. That's our whole show is about this, like sharing way too much. But so during that time, Melanie was postpartum. We were just, when I say dummies, I'm like real dummies. Like, oh, I'm not happy. Something went wrong in my life.
It's your fault.
So there was just the blame game over and over. And there was no accountability, no like ownership of anything. So I'm like, how in the world did we even make it this far? Right. So then Melanie had asked me, she was like, hey, do you struggle with like pornography and lust and stuff like that? And I was like,
I asked it in the most like Christian context.
Right.
Like, and
so it wasn't like, every day I just can't even bear it. I'm addicted, all this. It was never like that. Right. But she was postpartum, and there was no way that I was going to say, you know, that's happened sometimes, because that would just like melt her face.
Right.
So I was like, nope, I'm good. Which I was just lying. Right. So just lied. It's like, oh gosh. Okay. This isn't cool. And then, so she asked me, I don't know, a couple weeks later.
Right.
And again, postpartum, kids are everywhere. Things are happening. And I was like, listen, I got to come clean here, which I thought I was doing the right thing, which ultimately I think it was.
Right.
And then she just didn't know how to handle it. Mind you, the backstory of like, okay, we don't know what to do with our own emotions. We just push it out on the other person.
Yeah.
So she lost her brain. And when I'm saying lost her brain, it was postpartum stuff. And like, okay, Melanie's gone. Who is this? And there was like, she gave me a black eye. Right. There was other stuff that went on, and just back and forth of like her literally texting me, I want a divorce, period. I'm divorcing you. Let me have a divorce.
Right.
And all I could do was just like, oh no, this isn't real. Okay. We got to work through this. And I would just say, no, we're not getting divorced.
And
no,
he was never mean about it. That. It was never like ugly.
Yeah, it wasn't like some sort of jerk, like, no, we don't get divorced. It was, hey, no, we're not going to do that. That's not the right thing to do. So through a lot of growth mindset and introspection and counseling, of course, and a lot of prayer too, we made it through. And is it super easy now? Well, it's a billion times better than it was.
Yeah.
And now we help other people to get through all that crap too.
Yeah. It was crazy. It was like, you know, like if you ever tried to give like a cat a bath, that's how I was. Like, I was just like, like anything I could hit or scratch or like bite or yell at or whatever. I was like
claws out,
hissing and clawing. Yeah. That was it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Mallory, how do you remember that moment, that story, what you were thinking, what was going on? Because it seems like there's, I mean, there's a ton of things at play there for you, right?
Yeah.
You're postpartum, you know, you have young kids. If you're raised in and around church circles, like this is like a huge, huge deal.
Right.
You know, and I'm not saying it isn't a big deal because I think it is.
Right.
I think in church circles, it's like, oh my gosh, like it's right up there next to murder.
Right.
it really is. And like, not to cut you off, but it, I don't know how it got that way, but
it's a total fruit of purity culture.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like this is just like, it's one of those things that it's harped on so much.
Yeah.
Right.
For guys and girls that, mm-hmm. I mean, it is absolutely a betrayal. There's no doubt about that. And it's an issue. But I'm not trying to diminish it, but I think it's made a much, I think the response, I've heard this from a lot of wives and women in general, that like, when they're told that, it's like one of the most audacious things that they've ever heard.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so weird. At the time, I think there was, like you were saying, there's so many sort of parts at play there, because from my perspective, I'm like, oh, I met him, he's in a Christian band. Check. He'll never hurt me.
Yeah.
Right? I win. Like, we were part of the church. We did worship at our church. Double check. We've got this community. We have, you know, what is it? Accountability buddies or whatever. Like, we had what felt like a safety net around us. And on top of that, he's going to a Christian college, getting a degree, a master's degree in marriage and family therapy. So I'm like, I'm on easy street. Nothing wrong will ever happen. And so that was really kind of like the way that I was looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. And then there was a lot
of
other...
How did you remember it though? Like,
I mean, that's
walking through.
That was how it felt. I felt like I had built like a, this sounds so stupid, like a facade. Mm-hmm. Like I had
totally.
Like, yeah, it'll all be great. And then you said that to me and I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like everything went...
It all unraveled.
Which is so stupid because... None of it unraveled except for me. I was the only thing that unraveled, but here I was.
So
saying,
you're saying I'm awesome.
You. Yeah. You win.
Podcast
high five
over.
To you. But well, yeah, done. It really was. Yeah.
I'm glad we could work that out together. Who's the therapist here, buddy?
Right. What's your billing address?
Right.
Exactly.
Right. So, but it was crazy and I was crazy. Basically.
Well, what year was this, by the way? Was this when we were all, or yeah, was this
it was around the time, yeah. It was, so it was 2009, I think.
2009,
so
what 2010, yeah, 2010.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were also in what would prove to be an unstable church environment.
Ah.
Yes, quite.
Yes. I'm not just like putting that together, but kind of am putting it together.
Right.
Right.
Like, okay, what were we learning? What were we inundating ourselves with?
Right.
And then, oh my gosh. And the sad thing is, and I'm sure you know these guys too, there's tons of pastors and wives who are like not even married anymore.
Right.
They were at that church, you know, and mm-hmm. just all kinds of craziness. So, wow.
That's not funny. This is a comedy podcast.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Sorry to bring it down.
Well, you know, no, it's all right. That's what we do here. But I will say that obviously we were at a church where that happened, but it's a very common thing in a lot of communities, specifically Christian communities too, where there's probably some of this at play, Melanie, that it was like, there's a pedestal of what a healthy marriage and couple looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly this thing that has been harped on so much, well, my husband doesn't meet that expectation.
Yeah.
So it's in a lot of ways, it like, I don't know. There was, it was like, it was almost surprising that it didn't happen earlier is what I'm saying. Like there was a real recipe for disaster there.
Right.
For a lot of us, our worst years were during that same period.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Hearing the same teaching, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really weird when you think about it. I literally thought, well, he doesn't live up to my expectations. I guess I'd rather die. Like, I guess I'd rather like tear my whole family apart than change my expectations. Like, really?
That sounds hilarious when you say it that way.
How I felt.
Well, between that and the pool story, yeah. I'm catching that you both have a flair for the dramatic.
What do you mean? Bro. Not sure.
Well, you get a couple.
You come closer to me.
Yeah. You get a couple artists together. This is what's going to happen. I like it though. I like it because, you know, that's, it's I've at least I don't know, maybe you can agree or disagree. I think sometimes you reach a point where you're so emotionally exhausted and you don't know where to go that you just start dealing in extremes and ultimatums.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, well, I guess this is over.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
I'm done. Car broke. Okay. I'm leaving it on the side of the road.
Right. It's light it on fire.
All you have is a flat tire though.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what do you, you guys talked about, you know, there's obviously been a lot of growth. You know, the, as you guys think about like, cause there's still conflict that's inevitable, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what are the steps now? Like, what do you, you know, and also, you know, you guys all, you have created your own, I don't want to say facade, but you have a public presence now,
right?
Of being the marriage people and being a you know, a therapist of like, do you hold yourself to a certain expectation? Do you use tactics against one another? Do you like, oh, save this for the podcast? You know, you have a lot of things intermingled now in your guys' normal conflicts and relationship stuff.
Yeah, we were having a conversation last night, in fact, because this year, 2021, we launched two new shows, Anatomy of Sex and Anatomy of Family. And we were talking about some questions that we got about sex. And I said, hold on, no, we're not going to talk about that. Let's save it.
It was
for the podcast,
my question about
it was
sex.
Your question.
It will be funny. Are we allowed to talk about sex?
Sure, yeah.
Do comedians talk about sex?
Do comedians do that?
No, I don't think they do. Okay.
Never.
Okay. Never.
That's in his celibate. He's a... oh, he's a eunuch, I mean. Wrong word. Just kidding.
Okay.
I'm sorry. That was nice.
Sorry, it got on a tangent, but what
it
was
it? I came out of the bedroom and we were getting ready for like dinner or whatever. And I said, do you really like, does fat not matter on, because we've had this conversation, like I gained weight on purpose to see if it was different. And we were like, do you see fat differently than I see fat?
Yeah.
And I said, if you see like a fat chick at the beach, are you like, oh, fat, ooh, yay, or not? And he's like, you don't understand how men think at all. So then that turned into save it for the podcast.
Yeah. So then we stopped.
Came out and recorded it.
Right. So then we did a show. But back to your question there. Man, yes, there have been times, and we've actually recorded our arguments,
actual fights,
to play on the podcast, so we can actually go through it and learn from it.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you, man, that's some trippy stuff right there.
Right.
But we've never used it like, oh yeah, on episode 56, you said you wouldn't yell. What are you doing now? You know, it's never been like that. And then, like, maybe, I don't know, maybe you're asking about like, okay, so you guys have a marriage podcast, you're a marriage and family therapist, you still talk about your stuff. And I'll tell you this, as truthful as I can be, the podcast has been so cathartic and like,
helpful.
Just helpful for us. Mm-hmm. Even if no one listens, like we did a couple of stints of like 100 shows in 100 days. And we've done that like two or three times.
Right.
And it was like the main time of the entire day that we talked and had a long, cogent, appropriate 30-minute conversation. Right. So we just, I don't know, work stuff out.
And part of what's different about our show is that we don't pretend we know the answers. Like normal marriage people are coming to you and they're saying, oh, when you feel this, you should say X and Y. And like, here's A, B, and C steps. And that's what everybody does. But nobody shows you like, what does an actual fight feel like and look like? And how do you turn it so that it's going to be helpful and not harmful? Like, people don't show you that stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of our whole jam, is like, we don't present as perfect. That's the point. Right. Yeah. And it makes it really fun.
Here's an analogy. Oh, go ahead.
No. I want to hear the analogy. Go for it.
Is the comedian only funny on stage, or are they funny at home?
Yeah, that's a great question. The comedian has to be more than just funny at home. Like, people ask a lot, like, oh, do your kids think you're funny? I'm like, I mean, sometimes. But I also have to raise them, because it's not always a circumstance of which you can be funny, which I'd imagine applies to family marriage therapy as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's funny that we actually do really like walk the walk with our kids, because they know we have clients, like we coach clients and we have our show. We used to podcast in the house every morning.
Right.
Our kids could recite our intro. They'd say, hello and welcome to the Anatomy of Marriage podcast. I'm your host, Melanie Studley. And they would recite our whole intro.
Yeah.
So if we don't do what we say, if we don't walk the walk, they call us out on it.
Right.
Which is pretty rad. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys, how have maybe your marital, or excuse me, like your fighting, like triggers changed? Like, early on, there's certain things And then hopefully, you know, that kind of they're maybe we're a little less triggered, but there's still certain things or certain topics or certain emotions, you know, are there certain triggers that you guys had then that you've worked through, but you know, maybe there's a whole new set of them now.
A lot of it is around awareness. Like, I think people don't understand that there's certain things that are going to hurt someone's feelings a lot more than someone else's feelings. So if I were to say, like, maybe you had a really mean parent and I'm like, oh, you're just like your dad. Like, that's a thing that's going to spark dynamite no matter what. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like a process of trial and error. It's like landmines. Like, you figure it out when you're first married. Like, what's the landmines? You don't know when you come into a marriage. Nobody really knows till they step on one.
But then one of the big parts also is we know how to repair and apologize about 1,000 times better.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like before, oh, you splashed me in the face. I shouldn't have gotten married. Turns into,
oh, you splashed me in the face. It's fine. I'm not going to die.
Right. And then, repairing after that.
Right.
Now there, I guess there are certain triggers. It's funny because it's never just static, right? It's not going to be the same thing every time. We're not going to apologize at the same time. It's completely dynamic. So I could just be in a weird mood and say, wait a minute, that's just kind of, I don't know, that was a pissy thing to say, you know, kind of thing. And then if she's in a weird mood back, then boom. And of course, we talk about Enneagram, and anybody in a Christian circle knows what Enneagram stuff is. But learning our Enneagram style really helped me understand myself. And then that helped her understand me and vice versa kind of thing.
Right.
So I think apologies, just certain tactics and things. We do the thing called the clearing structure, which is using I statements like, hey, when you said that, it made me feel this and reminded me of this.
Yeah. There's a lot of like plain speaking that I think is the most helpful thing for couples to learn. Like, just freaking say it. Like, stop dancing around. Women tend to dance around it and be like, I'm going to tell you all my feelings and then you have to guess what I want. That's a recipe for a nightmare, right?
Yeah,
that's what so many women do. They're like,
there's no chance that's ever going to change.
Right. They're like, well, I'm sad. I'm lonely. Like, what does that mean? Like, just say, like, I need you to hug me right now. So we've actually started, we'll do things called repeat after me. Like, if I feel sad or something, I will tell Seth, hey, Seth, repeat after me. And then I'll say, Melanie, I love you and I'm here for you. And then he'll say,
Melanie, I love you, I'm here for you, and I think you're great.
Right. And then I feel
it,
amazing.
Oh.
Like,
it really works. It seems like the fake, like, goofiest thing ever, but it actually works.
Yeah, you're like an improv troupe. You just yes and each other. You just keep going.
Yes,
yeah, you
had
a scene. Exactly. Let me ask you this, because I am very cynical by nature, and there has to be times, right, when you fight now that you don't want to do that. You just want to have the fight. You're right. You just want to choose the violence and the emotion of it. Not actual violence. I'm just saying, like, I'm worked up right now and I don't want to do your dumb exercise because I'm mad or you hurt me or I'm not going to repeat after you, you know, or you mock them. There's got to be, or are you guys pretty on board at this point where you're like, no, I'll just do the thing with you.
I wonder what you're going to say about that. I have thoughts.
Yeah. So I can dig my heels in, but it's a very passive digging heels in.
Right.
I don't like conflict. I'm just fairly conflict avoidant, but I can be like,
Seth is like, like when a toddler doesn't want to eat broccoli, like he'll do anything. Like, he'll turn away
for real. And Melanie is the queen of like, hey, we're going to work through this and do it. And oftentimes, I mean, Dustin, you don't even know, man, there's been like times when I'm like, I would rather anything than look at you right now or talk to you. But she hangs in there and says, okay, well, no, we're going to do this. I'm like, it blows my brain out. But then there's also times when she really likes to fight. And
I do. I love to fight.
She can dig in too. And I'm not even going there with you. So whatever.
Yeah, it's interesting. But typically now it's like, we know how sucky fights can get. Like now we finally go, oh, you know, it's kind of not worth all that. Like we can be, you feel mad, but like me calling you a name or I don't know, throwing something at you is not going to make me feel better in the long run. But you're right. Like there are times when you kind of want to do it. And I love a good fight. So sucks to be you.
It's my nightmare.
I do. It's
I hate
fun.
A good fight.
It's really
I hate
fun.
A bad fight, I guess.
Do you guys, I mean, there's no like regular frequency to it, but like, what is the type of stuff that you guys still feel like you're not necessarily the triggers, but like, what are the issues that you guys still have the fight in the
conflict? Say it on the count of three.
on the count of
three. Yeah, ready? One, two, three. The house is never clean and you never clean anything. Let's do it again. One, two, three. Why don't you, you know clean
my love,
anything?
You know my love language is touch. You never touch me.
This is great.
No. So those are real things. I feel right. like I clean, of course. Yeah. Maybe every other husband does as well. What are you talking about? I cleaned the thing 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Or like, what? I touch you all the time. But we have to be really specific with those things if we want those things to change, right? Right. Right. So I think what gets me caught up is, I don't know, maybe the physical touch thing, which you do better mm-hmm. at, but that just like is a medicine for me just as a guy, right? So what is it for you? Is the house cleaning
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, I mean, and it's interesting because I realized too, and I hope that our listeners are, the female listeners here will understand that like as women, we, for some reason, I don't know why this happens, but it happens all the time. We think that we're princesses and queens, like we don't lift heavy things. We don't have to do the hard work. And for some reason, we believe that our spouses are Superman and they should do everything and should want to do everything. Mm. That's really what we all believe. So I am like, well, I can cry when I feel sad. I can like text Seth 1,000 texts if the kids won't eat their lunch, because that's how I feel. But if he shows 1 ounce of like not wanting to help me, it's done. Right. I'm mad. Here we go. Like, it's the weirdest thing that we do this. So I've learned that I love a clean house, but he doesn't need to love a clean house. Mm-hmm. And we don't always have to have a clean house for me to be happy. And that's the thing I wish more women understood. Like, yeah, we want our house to be spotless all the time or whatever. But
is your advice to the women listening? No, to the men listening, to go tell their wives, you know what?
Melanie said, I don't have to clean.
You're the one that prefers a clean house. I'm just going to let you go ahead and do that.
No.
You think that'll go over well?
No, but I do think we do need to relax. Yeah. I think we need to out with it.
That would be the equivalent of saying, well, if you love touch so much, just touch yourself. I don't think.
Right.
That was funny.
There we go. I'm a professional, guys. do you guys now have you're talking a little bit about Enneagram stuff, and my wife and I were talking a little bit about that last night, our respective numbers, and she has a tendency to live in the past and I have a tendency to live in the moment. Like I'm like here, like the present. So even when we were talking about like trauma and stuff, I was like, well, I got a lot of that behind me and it's in the DNA, but I don't dwell on it that often. And, mm-hmm. you know, she's more likely to. Mm-hmm. So when you guys fight, is there a tendency to, for one of your, the opposite or one or the other of you to bring up old stuff or have old emotions come up? Or is it just right here, the fight right now, or one, or the third option, which is you worry about the future because of this fight? Like, where are you guys kind of mentally in that?
Yeah. For me, Enneagram 9, like being a conflict avoidant and not really saying what you want all the time, most of the stuff is in the past for me. So I can like let it bottle up and go rah, and finally let it out. And she's like, what are you talking about? You never said any of this stuff, but I've been thinking about it, you know, 100 times over in my mind. So a lot of the stuff has been in the past, not like, hey, that time you gave me a black eye, I'm all weird about it now. Not that kind of thing, but more of
it's everything seems connected.
Missed opportunities for me to share what I really wanted or felt or desired. Yeah. That makes sense.
To which I say, if you like physical touch so much, touch yourself.
I hope I didn't have a new catchphrase around the house. Yeah,
that's gonna be a t-shirt.
Great, Dustin. Thanks a lot.
That's gonna be on your merch site now.
Right. No, I think from my perspective, I'm a 7 with like an 8 wing. So like, I love adventure and all the whatevers, but I also am like super into like. Mm-hmm. I like things my way. I'm like sort of moralistic.
So you're
like
in the now.
I'm like, let's do this crap right. Like I am all about this moment. Like I don't cry about how you felt last week or 20 minutes ago. That's done. 20 minutes is over. Like, come on. So it is hard because I feel like I want to push forward and Seth is like still kind of digging his heels in. So that does cause conflict.
So there's this super interesting dynamic in family therapy and it's called the pursuer distancer, right? And that happens a lot because she's in the now. If a conflict comes up or something like that, she's just pursuing like a bird dog, just on and on and on. Right. I'm like, leave me alone, please. Yeah. And I'm trying to get away. But what do you do when something's running away? You chase it faster, and then you run faster, and then you chase faster. Yeah. So that pursuer distancer dynamic comes up a lot. And, you know, if people think about it, it's like, oh, that thing that happens all the time with us,
right,
kind of thing.
Right.
But there are ways that you can kind of, I don't know, throw a wrench in the works there and stop
that.
Right.
Right. Well, yeah, that's a good transition because I wanted to do two more things with you. One, we're going to get to some emails real quick. And then also, what are just like some just quick tools that you guys would mm-hmm. recommend for people? It's particularly, I think, like when you're in just that, the heat of the moment itself, or maybe you just got there, or maybe you feel it bubbling for, you know, whether it's de-escalation or just conflict resolution or just how to avoid it all ending in this moment or saying something you would say. What are just maybe some quick tools or mantras or things that you guys have?
Right.
Yeah.
We do have the clearing structure, which is an actual therapeutic tool that we've turned into like a fillable PDF that people can do on our website. Also, we made an app called the Anatomy of Marriage app, and it has a clearing structure inside of it. So you can fill that out. And it's basically a way to really figure out why something bothers you and how you can communicate it to your spouse without sort of blowing up and causing a fight. And these work for perpetual fights, like fights you have all the time or like a in the moment. And it just walks it through. Like when you called me, or when you said I was mean or said you wanted a divorce on our honeymoon, I felt terrible.
Right.
That reminded me of, you know, and then it like walks you through and then it gives you solutions at the end.
And it really focuses on I statements, not saying you're always the craziest ever known or whatever. It's like, hey, I feel this way. This is how I want to feel. I'm not going to blame you or anything. So it's a lot of taking ownership. Mm-hmm. One really cool thing is we call it the AOM sandwich method. And Dr. John Gottman, he's a marriage scientist up here in Seattle, talks about having a soft startup. So if I had some sort of issue that I wanted to talk to Melanie about, like just something not cool, like, okay, she's spending all kinds of money, I would say, I would sandwich it with something good. Then, you know, the constructive criticism, what I see that needs to change. And then, you know, the bottom bread or whatever is something also good. So it's like having a soft startup, not just diving in and saying, you can't spend money, you can't do this. It's let me look at it from a, you know, macro view rather than just the micro view. And that really helps a lot because we've avoided a lot of arguments in that way.
I think another really helpful thing too is not talking for your spouse, like not telling them what they do. So like you never say I'm look pretty or you always whatever, or just like, well, of course you're going to do that because you blah, blah, blah. Like that is the most trap humanly possible. It's going to make your partner defensive. And then it's going to be a fight, not about what you want them to do or not do. It's going to be a fight about the fact that you think they do or don't do it all the time. Like it's so, it derails everything. And we did this for 16 years.
Wait a minute. 16 and a half. Yeah.
Love it. Oh, that's super helpful, guys. Appreciate it. Well, let's do a couple emails here. So we asked folks send in emails for February's for Fighting about their respective stories. Maybe they're going to be asking for some advice, or maybe they're just going to let us know what things look like for them. And I would love to hear your guys' responses. So, all right. So this email right here is from Scott. Subject, fighting in marriage. All right. First, here we go. Dustin and Mel, that's my wife, but this will be Seth and Mel too here.
There we go.
Help. My lovely wife, Carrie, and I are in extreme marital trouble. A nasty divorce is on the horizon. What some may seem like a strong marriage is soon to be annihilated, or so we are told by countless friends, preachers, self-help books, and small group members. Why, you ask? We don't fight. We've been married 17 plus years and have never had a fight. And we are bombarded with voices that say fighting is healthy and good instead of seeking to eliminate arguing. What a dumb idea. They come up with sermons and books on how to fight well. We've asked each other multiple times if there are festering issues waiting to explode into a volcanic apocalyptic destruction of what we're mistakenly have considered a good. I mean, clearly Scott's a good communicator, so that might be right. No, we are both good. This seems a little bit like a flex, but it completely not, because we must have an awful marriage. Been told that verbatim. We appreciate people explaining that to us over and over, and how our vows are rubbish. So any advice for two people who get along, see things the same, and willingly compromise in lieu of fighting? Inexplicably desperate for advice, Scott.
Oh my gosh. That makes me think like, I know, Scott.
I know. What an email, Scott. Well done, Scott. Right.
It makes me think, what is wrong with people?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, there's a beautiful thing over here and it's worked for 17 years and it's well oiled and people are happy.
Idiot.
You can't have that. What's wrong with you? I don't know. I mean, as a therapist, Okay, yeah, we come across, I mean, your sister and husband are like this. They don't fight. Your sister and her husband, right?
Yes.
Are like this. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? But, oh, can't we just believe somebody?
Right.
If they're saying, I don't know, we've been married 17 years. This is kind of cool, right?
Yeah. It's
like, okay, what are the fruits of the relationship? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
right.
What's going good? So that's a pretty funny email. There are couples, however, that don't fight, but that is only an illustration of what they're not talking about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They don't fight because they never talk. They're not involved with each other.
Right.
They don't have shared visions of stuff. So that obviously would be signs for, I don't know, pause for me as a therapist.
And it's funny because it's like Seth and I are the complete opposite. We have to fight about everything to learn how to communicate, like socks or pants or vacations or whatever. Mm-hmm. But we're figuring it out that way. But I wish that more people were like, hey, what if we could act like adults here?
You know? Yeah, it seems like it's not about whether or not fighting is good or bad itself.
Right.
It's why you fight, how you fight, or why you don't fight and how you don't fight. Yeah, because not fighting could also just be, hey, we don't communicate, you know, like you said.
Right. Yeah.
All right, let's do one more and then I'll let you guys go. All right. Hey, Dustin and Mel. So they're all going to say that. Sorry. I'm so excited for your next podcast series. I mean, forget about the alliteration. Genius. February is Friday. This is just me reading to you, my happy listeners, especially in a month that's supposed to be all about love. Jeez, it's nice to have something different. Anyways, just a quick note to tell you both about the quote cycle of fighting in my own marriage. Now, my husband and I have been married for almost 16 years, but together for over 20 years. So you'd think that after two decades of quote fighting together, we would have been able to come up with something more, something creative, something different. But no, it is literally the same boring cycle. It goes something like this. There's a disagreement or conflict. I stonewall him for a bit, like always. he tries to get whatever information he can about why, quote, I'm upset. I'm guilty of that. Why are you upset?
Hey, what's the matter? It looks like something's wrong. Yeah.
Why are you like this? That's when it gets worse. Eventually I speak up. And then just like clockwork, he says, you need to calm down. This is classic. That's when the gloves come off. And on my end, after the absurd phrase, he'll say, I don't like your tone. You're talking really fast. I can't even understand you. And you're using big fancy words. Yes, apparently my extensive vocabulary really comes out in a fight, in addition to offending him, to which my response will always be, babe, you don't like my tone. I am talking too fast and using big words because you said you need to calm down. And the cycle continues. At this point, all I can say is that it's been this way for 20 years. So at least we're consistent. Fondly, Rebecca from California. So your guys' thoughts there on the old boring fights.
Well, there was a meme that went around a while back and it said, it was like in an alternate universe reality. And it was like, and the husband told her to calm down. And she miraculously said, You're right.
Yeah. So, relax.
Come on, dude.
Just relax. You know?
Right. Okay. What were you going to say there?
Well, one of the things I think is really interesting is that we don't realize that as humans, our bodies are a huge part of how our brains work. Like our bodies and our brains are connected. And so there's like actual chemical addiction that we create that like a pattern that we're used to. So it like if Seth says, what's wrong? I will get this like tiny little zot of like cortisol and be like, what do you mean? What? And so then I get like a ping and then that little zot of cortisol sends me, you know, makes me go say something mean to him. And I go, what do you mean? What's wrong? And then he does it. So there's this pattern that our body is used to going down when something like that happens. So it's not surprising that it's a cycle. It's not surprising. It's been happening for two decades. Right. And the hardest thing I think in the world is breaking that cycle. Cause you know what it feels like? Feels like when you're in the car and you're listening to your, well, what's your favorite song? What's your absolute favorite song you want to jam like full volume in the car?
I mean, not counting Emery songs or.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too broad of a question.
Too big of a question.
So you're just jamming, down the freeway.
Whatever it may be. Yeah.
Right. Smooth jazz and Kenny G's about to bust into the solo.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden your battery dies.
I was thinking Sweet Child of Mine, but you know, but Kenny G is fine too.
It's that feeling right before something you are familiar with that you're waiting for, like the big part of a movie. And then all the stuff goes off. because you're you know what's going to happen next. So it's so incredibly hard to stop that cycle because it feels like the worst thing ever. It's like going to lick ice cream and it falls on the ground. It feels like that. It's disappointing and it's weird, but it's the best thing to do.
Right. To break that pattern.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's so weird because nobody teaches it that way. And no one thinks about, like, it's just a cycle. You're just doing the same thing. You're sledding down the same stupid sledding path, saying you want to go somewhere else. Get off the freaking path.
So like, how do you stop it? What do you tell yourself? What do you, what do, is there, it's just it's having a, it's the self-control.
It's a four letter word.
What?
Yeah. It's stop. You
just stop.
Well, first of all, there's an awareness. You got to bring an awareness around that. Like, oh, wait a minute. Do I really do this? And you got to be open for, you got to be open to feedback and accepting it for yourself and say, okay, do I want to perpetuate this pattern for more years or stop it or work with my partner to do something different? You can do it. It's funny because I'm like listening to your emails and stuff, and they're so markedly different from the emails and questions that we get because there's no like comedy tone to it at all. It's like, okay, take those emails that you got, except pour 1,000 years of sarcasm, 1,000 years of like criticism anger on there. We're like, these guys are serious.
Yeah. I know. It's like how jealous I am of the emails you get. They're fun.
Yeah, like, you guys were kind of buckling up, like, oh, here we go.
I know. I was like, advice. Hey, like,
no, these are fun.
Yeah, no, I totally was on the wrong track there.
But. My backseaters, they're a good time. Well, thank you guys. I appreciate you guys so much for doing this.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for having us. For hanging out.
And plug what you, I mean, you've certainly mentioned the podcast. You get, and you get the new ones, Anatomy of Sex and Anatomy of Family. You got the app. What else do you want my people to check out?
Yeah, anatomyofmarriage.com. That's our website.
Well,
obviously,
we just rebranded. So now everything's like thestudleys.com. Oh, that's our, but you can find our website wherever. So we're trying, it's hard to brand three things, we discovered. It's really, really hard. But you can find us at thestudleys.com or anatomyofmarriage.com or whatever.
Mm-hmm. All the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Facebook. Anatomy of Marriage. And also, if you got any questions, email us at hello@anatomyofmarriage.com.
Yeah.
Beautiful. All right. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, man.
It's been awesome.
Thanks. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening to that episode, everybody. I wanted to give a special shout out to our designated drivers. That is our highest level of patrons. Demarius Diaz-Stevens, Troy Meacham, Dave Hoagland, and Rachel Jaquith. Really appreciate your support of the podcast. If you have not already, please like and subscribe and share. Backseaters, you mean the world to us. Thanks so much for tuning in.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.